Friends, we are going to discuss now the chapter 7, which is capital structure. In previous structures, we have seen the appraisal process for any project which was considered for the financing. Now we will look into another aspect of the project, and that to company who is undertaking the project, whether they are capable or not to handle that project or not, that we have to see. So, in this chapter, we are going to discuss about the capital structure of the company who is undertaking the project. And for the purpose of financing, what the financing agency, that is bank, financial institution, NBFCs, and other financial institution, what they are looking into. And actually, what is the factual position regarding the regulations or regarding the the concept which is considered good for undertaking the financial obligation, and that also referring to the various theories, economical theories. Those theories also we will discuss here. Some of the ratios also we will consider for our discussion, so as to understand which aspect of financing is correct, whether it is debt, whether it is equity or any other cash flow or whatever it may be, the securities that is offered by the borrower to the company. So the objective of this particular topic is to introduce the overall capital structure, then provide the understanding of the important theory, that is Modigliani and the Miller, the proposition theory part 1 and part 2, that also we are going to discuss, as well as the pecking order theory, agency cost, and something about the structural corporate finance and gearing ratio. These are some of the important terms which are generally used by the financing companies or financial institution, and learn about debt tax shield and debt capacity to provide the conceptual understanding on weighted average assets. So these things we are going to consider for our discussion in this topic. So this is the objective of the topic. To start with, let us understand first, in introduction, the project financing structure, which refers to the way of the company which is financing its assets through by taking some instruments as security, like debt, equity, or any hybrid securities between debt and equity, and maybe something else like cash flow and all. So the company's capital structure is definitely, you are aware that capital means it is an equity. But not only the capital structure is taken into consideration, considering that as a structure, or it is liabilities. Okay. So if the company, it is debt is to be taken as a security, or equity is to be taken as a security, that is left to the individual companies who can offer that security for the financing, availing the financing. The example which I am putting here is, say for example, the company that has a 20 crores of equity and 80 crores of debt. Then in that case, it is said to be that 20% equity financed and 80% debt is financed. Okay, so the company's ratio debt to equity is 80% in this example is referred as to the company's leverage. That means the debt percentage is considered as a leverage security. Okay, and in reality, the capital structure may be highly complex and it includes dozens of sources. Various sources are there. So, gearing ratio is considered important here, and the proportion of the capital employed by the company, which comes from the outside of the business finance, for example, by taking the short-term loan, and where equity is financed or equity is given as a security to the financing institution. Okay, so this topic itself will start from the theory, which shows that the capital structure of is irrelevant in the world with the no taxes or the other market impressions imperfections. So it will also show that when you increase the level of debt, higher level of the debt in company, you increases the required rate of return on the equity, because increasing the leverage, it increases the risk of equity also. Now let us concentrate on understanding the factors that are affecting the capital structure decisions, whether to increase the capital, whether to stop the capital increment, or to reduce the capital. Okay, so the factors which are affecting the capital structure consist of various factors are there. Okay, so that the management must consider while making the capital structure decisions some of the aspects which are very important as far as the decision making is concerned, whether to increase the capital or to keep as it is or leave it as untouched. Okay, financial flexibility. Some of the factors we are going to discuss now. Financial flexibility. See, companies, when their products is received well by the consumers, all goes well. Problem comes when during the drawdown or downturn, when there is no sale or there is no demand of the product, demand for the product in the market. Even during the slowdown also, the firm needs to run, and thus the need of the capital is very much essential. Okay, it becomes very difficult for the company to raise the capital in bad times, because nobody is investing in the company in bad times. Therefore, irrespective of the becoming the business and economy, the business should always discount for the bad time and do not stretch the capabilities too far. So the company with a low debt and that mix they have, they would be better off in the bad times. So one of the most common mistakes that the companies do is they are raising the capital in the bad times also. Okay, so that is why instead of raising the capital through the bad debt or through the debts, if without analyzing their ability to repay, if the companies are raising this kind of debt, then it's a very risky proposition. As a result, what happens? If debts are increased, they fail to service the debt in the bad times, and thus they are losing the confidence of the investors. That is why in the bad time, it is better to keep off raising the capital. Maybe is it equity, maybe it is debt, because servicing is an issue that they may come across. Now, next one is tax exposure. Usually, normally what happens, you know, the debt payments are deductible and the result of the tax benefits. Okay, this is why the company prefer having some amount of the debt in their capital structure. Okay, business risk. Business risk is also important, because there is a risk in every business. However, this risk is different from company to company, industry to industry, and nature of the product as well as the services provided and so on. So on each occasion, each type of risk has an element of its components in the manufacturing cycle. So lower the debt assets, lower the debt assets ratio, that would make the investor feel better. Which ratio? Debt asset ratio. Debt and the assets, that company, debt raised and assets hold. This ratio, if it is low, then the investor feel better and about the company's ability to meet the responsibilities even in adverse situation also. Now, another type of structure decision making is the nature of the industry. What type of industry can take the decision for raising the capital? The nature of the industry plays a very significant role in defining the capital structure. For example, if an industry where there is no barrier to the competition, the profit margin of the existing firm will more at the risk. Therefore, the firm will be hesitant to use the fixed charge bearing securities. Operating cash flow is also an important element because to some extent it is impacted by the fixed cost. If the company uses a very high proportion of the fixed cost in the total cost, fixed cost and total cost, are these are the two costs. So it can amplify the variability in future earning. If the operating leverage is high, there are more chances of the business failure. Okay. And the company could even go to the extent of bankruptcy. So that is so severeness. Okay. So therefore, the management should take a balanced approach to get the perfect mix of the capital structure. Management style is also very important. Over and above, well, everything is fine, but the management style is little bit different. Then in that case, sometimes it feels very risky also. The capital structure of the business also depends upon whether the management is having the conservative approach or aggressive approach. A management that is more aggressive would not be afraid of taking any risk, okay? And therefore, more debt will be definitely, more note will be issued. So on the other hand, the conservative management would prefer to lower the risk event, even if it means for competitively at the low returns also. So there are few tips that can help the management to take the better capital structure decisions. See, management must evaluate the company's need for the capital requirement. So, the company needs the capital for the things like operations, then organic growth, then acquisition and returning of the cash to the shareholders. Management must also determine the minimum liquidity that it would be needing to finance these four kind of things, that is operation, organic growth, acquisition and returning on the cash to shareholders. Now, what if this situation arises? What if these things is happen? Then what if it doesn't happen? Okay, so as to determine if the company's credit rating is good enough to guarantee the instant access to the funds, and if the rating is not good, the company will then have to make an adequate adjustment in their capital structure. So as to come out of this, develop clearly defined decision making framework. This will guide the management when dealing in different liquidity scenarios. The financing choices, okay? Theory and practices, whenever we are seeing, the financing choices are very important. So financing choices of the managers makes the effect that liabilities and the stakeholders, as well as the stakeholders means equity holders, stockholders, and equity on the side of the balance sheet, and the capital budgeting decision, which is taken by the management on the other side, affect the asset side of the balance sheet. So liability side and asset side, both the sides of the balance sheet is getting affected if the decision taken is little bit here and there. The key question is here, what mix that these securities will minimizes the value of the shareholders, whether increasing the debt or increasing the equity. Debt service requires the interest payment that are the tax deductible, that you know, debentures, okay? But equity services requires the dividend is to be paid by the company, which are paid after the tax income. So dividend, while making the dividend payment, company deduct the first tax and then they distribute the dividend to all the stakeholders. However, increase in the use of the debt increases the risk of default on the debt service and can lead to bankruptcy. Because in the debt or debentures, interest is paid, whereas on the equity, the dividend is paid. While paying the dividend, first tax is getting deducted, whereas in debt, the interest, the tax is deducted simultaneously on the interest which is receivable by the stakeholder. The managers must also make the choices about whether to use the fixed rate of floating or fixed rate or floating rate debt and how to mix a long-term and the short-term debts. These issues affect the cost of the debt. Comparing this capital structure overview in respect of the debt and the equity is there. See, debt is a contractual claim, okay, to the cash flow of the company, and that has fixed life and does not depend upon the company's operating performance. Whereas, contrary to this, equity is a residual claim to the cash flow of the company, and because of its claim in the equity is residual, equity holders are entitled only to the operating cash flow that remains after the debt holders have been paid. Another aspect here is debt holder do not have the right to hold, so it cannot affect the overall management of the company. Whereas, contrary to it, unlike the debt holders, equity holders have the right to hold, and thus it can affect the overall management of the company. Subsequent aspect is the interest payment on the bonds or debt or debentures that are the tax deductible to the issuing corporation. Okay, dividends are paid to the stockholders in respect of the equity. Okay, stockholders to the in respect of equity. This is not tax deductible because this benefit lowers the company's cost issuing debt if the company is paying the taxes. And generally, first tax is getting paid in respect of the dividend payment, and then the dividend will be distributed among the stockholders. Debt is not a residual claim, whereas equity is a residual claim. The company must make the scheduled interest payment, whereas in respect of the debt, whereas in respect of the equity, the company can announce the dividend on its own will. Okay, then the company must make a scheduled interest payment, and the company can announce the dividend on its own will. The company must repay the principal, and the company does not have the buyback the shares. The repayment is not an optional, whereas in respect of the equity, the payment of the dividend is the company's prerogative. It is not made by the compulsion. Important theory after understanding the debt and equity. What is coming into the discussion for the many stakeholders, many financial institutions, many companies? This theory is something different than the debt and equity in respect of the capital structure of the company. And this Modigliani and Miller, this proposition 1 and 2 are the two theories they have put forth. Okay. So for the sake of our understanding, we call that theory as MM theory. Or MM theory, Modigliani and Miller proposition theory. Okay, so the company's capital structure is a mix of various debts and equity instruments used in financing the company. This is the basic understanding. To assess the value of the company, your first need is to determine the appropriate discount rate use. Should you use the rate that is appropriate for the company's finance with 100% equity? Or should you use the company's cost debt as the rate at which the discount of the cash flow, or mix of both? That is what the theory is defining. So in Modigliani and Miller, that is MM theory, theorem, the forms, what its exactly theory is, this theorem forms the basis of modern thinking on the capital structure, though it is generally viewed as purely theoretical result, since it disregards many important factors in the capital structure process, factors like the fluctuation and uncertain situation that may occur in the course of financing the company. Therefore, this theorem states that in a perfect market, how the company is financed is irrelevant to its value. The result which is provides that the base with which examine the real world reasons why the capital structure is relevant, and that is the company's value, is affected by the capital structure of its employees. Some other sources, which includes the bankruptcy cost also, agency cost also, taxes, and some information asymmetry. This analysis of MM theorem is, or it can then be extended to look at whether there is in fact any optimal capital structure, or the one with the maximizes the value of the company. MM showed the conditions under which the value of the project is inherent, and that to how it is to be financed. Because it is something different that theory is putting before. Okay. So Modigliani and Miller also demonstrated that when a company finances a project using more debt, financing more debt than the equity, the residual equity becomes very riskier because it is supporting more debt claims. So whatever is organized by the investment in equity will be utilized for making the compulsorily interest payment on the debts. That is what this theory says. So it was MM's intention to define this constant value condition as the benchmark, much like the frictionless state of the perfect vacuum in physics, or the concept of the perfect competition in economics. These conditions may not exist in the real world, but they provide the useful anchors for the thought and to benchmark against which the real conditions can be measured. MM's proposition offers the basis for understanding why a company decisions about the capital structure may in fact matters. The capital structure in perfect market, as per the MM theorem, Modigliani and Miller theorem, it has got two findings. First one, the first proposition was that the value of the company is independent of its capital structure. Very important. And their second proposition states that the cost of the equity for the leveraged company is equal to the cost of equity for the unleveraged company plus the added premium for the financing risks. That is, the leverage increases while the burden of individual risk is shifted between the different investor class, total risk is conserved, and hence not an extra value is created. Okay, so their analysis was extended to include the effect of the taxes and risky debts under the classical tax system. The tax deductibility of the interest makes the debt financing valuate. That is, the cost of the capital decreases as the proportion of the debt is in the capital structure increases. The optimal structure then would be to have a virtually no equity at all. That is, capital structure consisting of 99.99% debt. So you borrow it, simply borrow it. But to servicing is very important. Otherwise, principal will be eaten away by the interest itself. So how to believe this MM theorem is a $1 million question, or it is difficult to understand also. So understanding the capital structure in real world, that if the capital structure is irrelevant in the perfect market, then the imperfection which exists in the real world must be the cause of its relevance. The theories below try to address some of these imperfections by relaxing the assumptions which are made in M&M theorem or Modigliani and Miller model. According to M&M proposition 1, that is proposition 1, the value of the company is determined by its real assets and the growth opportunities and not by the type of the securities, that is debt or equity, to its issue. I repeat, according to M&M proposition 1, the value of the company is determined by its real assets and the growth opportunities and not by the type of securities, whether it is debt or whether it is equity. Under the particular conditions, the company's value turns out to be a constant regardless of its capital structure. This M&M's proposition 1 applies in the world under the following assumptions. What are those assumptions? 6 assumptions are there. 1, capital structure does not affect the investment policy. That is the first assumption. 2nd is the cash flow paid out of the different securities are taxed at the same rate. 3rd one, no cost for the bankruptcy exists. 4th one, the manager's goal to maximize its shareholding wealth. 5th one, everyone has an immediate and equal access to all the relevant information about the company. And 6th one, no transaction cost exists. Is it possible in real world? That is the question. If these conditions hold, the company is said to operate in a perfect market. That is what M&M theory proposition 1 states. Okay. Now, Modigliani and Miller proposition 2. What it says? Proposition 2, second proposition. This theorem says, the formula is required to be used, and that states that the company's weighted average cost of the capital, weighted average cost of the capital is weighted average of its cost debt, that is RD, and the cost of equity, that is RE. Now, the formula which is given, that is RA, is equal to the D into RD divided by D plus E plus D into RE divided by D plus E. Here, the RD is a debt and RE is nothing but it is an equity. So in this formula, D and E are considered as the market value of the debt and equity. And equities are RD or RD and RE are the expected returns on the exist debt and equity respectively. Note that there is no tax in the equation above, as M&M's world has no tax assumptions. M&M's world has no tax assumptions. We have just seen that the perfect market and the company's value is unaffected by its capital structure, that is as per the proposition 1 of M&M. We also know that the company's capital structure has no impact on the cash flow and the company is expected to generate. If the value and the future cash flow generated by a company are not affected by its capital structure, then it must be true that the company's weighted average cost of the capital is unaffected by the company's capital structure. Then what about the cost of the equity? How does the capital structure choice impacted on the cost of equity? Rearranging the equation, which is just now we have seen, you will find that return on equity is equal to RA plus D upon E into bracket RA plus RD. If we have assumed that at low level of the debt it is constant and equal to the risk-free rate, then the cost of the equity increases linearly with the leverage. At higher level of the debt, debt becomes very risky. which means that the debt holders can no longer be certain that the company is able to meet its commitments or not, so as to pay the interest and repay the principal of the debts. When debt becomes risky, that is, RD starts to increase and the leverage goes up. Whereas, in this case, more of the company's risk is borne by the debt holders, and RE, that is equity, still increases as the leverage increases, but the decreasing the rate. Since the levered equity has a greater risk, it should have a greater return as a compensation. Modigliani and Miller proposition 2 states that the expected return on equity is positively related to the leverages. MM proposition 2 also states that the increase in the company's debt ratio does not affect the riskiness of the assets, that is RA, and that is not dependent on the leverage ratio, but it does not, but it does increases the riskiness of its equity. Also, note that for any company, the return on the debt will always be less than the return on equity. This is because interest payment to the debt holders have highest priority than the dividend payments to the equity holders, and thus the debt carries the less risk. However, the weighted average sum of the return on the debt and the return on the equity is always constant and is equal to the return on assets. MM proposition 1 and 2 points to the conclusion that the companies cannot change its value, which are simply as an equity repeated by the debts, replaced by the, when equity is replaced by the debt, a company's overall value and its cost, of the capital, it cannot be reduced because the riskiness of the equity increases, its amount of the debt increases. Okay, this increase in the risk of the equity offsets the reduction in the risk, and that results from issuing the debt. In other words, while the fraction of the low cost debt is increases, equity demand a return high enough to the compensate for the extra risk it is bearing. Thus, using the asset beta to calculate the cost of the capital is appropriate in a world which is based on MM's assumption where debt but no tax exist. Application in the real world. Every company has a limit to amount of its debt and it can support. If the company goes beyond its debt capacity level, then it risks the bankruptcy. Debt does not matter. The debt does matter in the real world. Consider what happened when MM's assumptions that there is no tax differential between the debt and equity is relaxed. In the real world, the corporations are taxed on operating cash flow after interest payment have been made. Cash paid to the shareholders is a dividend, is taxed for the first and due to the corporation, but the interest payments are not. Therefore, two companies that have the equivalent earning before interest but different capital structure, in a world with the taxes, the companies with the identical tax, cash flow and risk, that will be the worth different amount of the capital structure will be differ. Now, trade-off theory. First, we have seen that MM theory. Okay. Now, trade-off theory. What happens in the trade-off theories? If you look at this graph, here it is shown as a firm value. Here it is ratio debt equity. Okay. Then here you can see the bankruptcy cost And here in this trade-off theory, what we are going to determine is the bankruptcy cost. So the trade-off theory allows the bankruptcy cost to exist. It is always there. Any point of time it may come, but there are various reasons for the bankruptcy. Okay. It states that there is an advantage to the financing to the debt, merely a tax benefit on debt, and that there is a cost financing with the debt, that the bankruptcy cost and the financial distress cost is a debt. The marginal benefit of the further increases, okay, in the debt if the debt declines. As the debt increases, while the marginal cost increases, so the company that is optimizing its overall value with the focus on this trade-off, then the choosing how the debt and equity to use the financing. Empirically, this theory may explain the difference in debt and equity ratio between the industries, but it does not explain the differences within the same industry. Thank you.